Filgrastim is the name of the injections that I get that increase my neutrophils, right?
Yeah, oh, just white blood cells.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea what a neutrophil was before everything.
Now you do?
Now I know what neutrophils are. A type of white blood cell. You learned a lot of like biology that you didn't think you'd learn. Yeah.
Down 106
or
that's
70.
Fine. Still over 100. We're happy with that. It changes second to second anyway, so this. I'll leave this open, it'll start going off in a second. Not sure.
I know for a fact that my life is never going to be the same again, like no matter which way you look at it. But I think it's just kind of like accepting that and learning to live with that and trying to move on with it.
That's why chemo works for cancer really well, especially like because the cancer's trying to like multiply and spread, and so it's taking a lot of energy from your body that would be going to other parts. It kind of tricks your body into feeding it more, and then it tries to grow quickly to spread.
I think because I was so busy prior to diagnosis and treatment and stuff like that, I was so busy that I'd go out the house at like 8 o'clock in the morning and I honestly wouldn't be home until 10 o'clock at night. Mm. And it was like that 7 days a week, but it was my life and I enjoyed it and I was used to it. So for something to come along that I had no idea was going to happen to completely like take all of that away from me was kind of like the carpet had been like ripped from underneath me.
You know, like, your body's like a beehive, right? This is how I think of it. Your body's like a beehive. You know, all the little bees work for the greater good. In your body, all your organs work for that, for your greater good, you know? So they're like a little beehive. And then the cancer is like a mutation that's very, like, individualist. Like, oh, I care about my survival, not about the body's survival. So it's like if a bee has gone rogue. But usually, like, cells that, like, mutate have, like, a self-destruct like option. They're like, I've turned out wonky, I'll self-destruct, you know. But the cancer cells like doesn't have that, so it like is like, I need to survive. So then it starts trying to like, you know, grow and spread. But the problem is that the more it grows and spreads, the more detrimental it is to you.
The reason why I'm keeping myself so busy and doing all these things for charities and stuff like that is it just kind of keeps me grounded and keeps me mentally well on the path to recovery type thing. Even though I do want to help all of these people, it is actually helping me as well. Yeah.
It's interesting to learn about. I've watched many videos about how it works. It basically like hides itself from your immune system. It's like pretending to be a regular cell. And some of these cells like have to like show the immune cells like what they do. Like the cells are very transparent, you know, like imagine like has like a window and it like shows what protein it's creating or whatever its purpose is. But the cancer cell doesn't have those windows. And so they learn how to hide well. So then the immune system doesn't kill it.
It's on like the part, the sign at the nose, so.
Let me just grab that.
Oh! 5 through 11 is even more echo like the Beatles with some reverb. So that reverb is added at like immediate space to the sound. And then.
The echo is going to repeat
that. Oh my god, take the chorus. Yeah, it's the volume.
Like a lot of people say like, oh, you lost your fight to cancer, but technically it's a draw because the cancer also dies with you if you pass away, which is horrible. But yeah, because then the cancer doesn't keep spreading because your body's not producing the nutrients that it needs to keep spreading. Yeah.
Yeah, some of the questions that just sort of came up were like reflecting on where you were a year ago and then just some of the absurd sort of things that have gone on.
And where do we begin? That's crazy.
Well, maybe a little bit about the band first and like how that came about.
Yeah. So back in March of this year, I decided to take on the Twilight Walk for the Brain Tumour Charity and walk 12 miles to mark 12 weeks recovery.
This was the Three Peaks?
Actually this weekend. on the walk, managed to get like 50 members of friends and family to come along with me. Literally people from like different walks of my life, from like karate, from school, from like football that I used to do years ago. Like, it was just crazy. People from work and everything came. And it was just nice to get everyone together from like different parts of my life that had never met, like people had never met anyone before, and they all had like me in common. And it was strange, like people were telling stories like other people that like they wouldn't have known if they hadn't have met them and stuff like that. But it was really nice. And then one of the ladies who came on the walk was my old high school teacher, and she's lovely. So obviously it was in high school and she was my GCSE music teacher, so she came on the walk, but I've like stayed in touch with her since I left. So when she found out that I was ill over Christmas, like, she couldn't believe it. And she was just saying, like, you never know when the last time is she gonna hug someone or like things hit the fan and stuff like that. So it was really nice to see her and catch up with her. So then when she came on the walk, she texted me that night, and she was like, I've been thinking, like, thanks for today and all that. But she was like, we do this thing every year now. And she was saying how really like cool it would be to completely go full circle and get me back in the school and back behind the drums. And instead of like raising money off the tickets, the food and the drinks and all, going back into the PTA and the school funds for it all to go to the Brain Tumour Charity instead. It was crazy. Like, I go back to school quite a lot, to be fair, because like that's why I train with karate anyway. So it's not like I feel like I haven't really left. I go back there like 2 or 3 times a week as it is. But to be there like with the staff and then like some of the kids that are there, like, because I was quite involved with things in the school anyway. Like, a few years ago when I was in year 13, like, kids are in year 7 and now in year 11, and they've just left. And I went in for the first meeting back in like March, so it was still like relatively fresh. And one of the kids walked past me and they gave me a fist bump, and I was like, yeah. And I was like, who is this kid? But when I got speaking to the music teacher, it turns out that they were someone who, when I was in year 13, they were in year 7. And they just remembered me on like the drums and stuff like that. And then, funnily enough, I go back there 5 years later and he's now the new drummer in the school band. Yeah, it's completely gone full circle. The night of it was just like, I think just in the daytime alone, I think I cried like 5 times. But just to like see something come together with like all these people and like members of staff and like volunteers and then the kids and then like kids that had left coming back to perform, like, just to see all of that come together in like such a short space of time and like raise like so much money for a charity that like means so much to me, it was unbelievable. And I think like that'll be a night that I never forget, because I think for me that was like a turning point of like, this has happened, I need to deal with it, I am dealing with it, and this is how I'm moving on, like, by trying to help other people within similar situations. But yeah, it was so good. And then like at the end, someone was like, say a few words, and I was like, I literally can't, I literally can't hold it together. I did, but like, it's a bit awkward.
So for those who don't know, I have had a brain tumour myself. Just before Christmas. So it's still relatively new, but I just want to say an unbelievably massive thank you to
Amy.
I'm right. And then this is like, this was sick to hear. This is like all the kids, like everyone together now. Like, it's the last one. So the song of like the year was My Hero by the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Take your pictures down.
I have sailed the Anglican Cathedral for Teenage Cancer Trust Society.
Scary, cranky, how... I would have never thought of jumping on this.
This reminds me of like when I was in New York, at like the edge. Nah. My fear of heights, I can never.
Not scary, and I think that's higher.
I'm so proud of you.
Be like, I wonder what's higher, TYA or this.
Yeah, because that'll be one thing you have to die. But like, what they do, I know that's not gonna go me, but what they do is they get you in like the like position or whatever to go down, and then they get you sitting in your harness, then they're like, right, smile.
I feel like I'd pee myself.
Same.
I'm so scared of heights.
Because I'm doing it so from work, I was like, you better be wearing your bra trousers because I know I will be.
Oh my
goodness.
Nah, I'm scared of heights. I could never. Never.
What is it that you're scared of heights? Is it the looking down? Or?
It's the fear of falling for me.
Yeah. Oh, that too. Looking down and the fear of falling.
Look at that seagull just like chilling there on that streetlight.
That is so cute. He's just vibing.
So you know like flagpoles, how high a flagpole is? Apparently the height of the cathedral is 5 flagpoles.
Really?
5 flagpoles?
For like 150 feet, yeah.
Wow.
I'd say that lamppost that the pigeon or whatever the seagull's on, that's probably one.
Jeffin?
Flagpost-ish. No, it's gotta be at least 2.
I think I've kind of like set myself a challenge in recovery to kind of like help all the charities that have helped me along the way. I know I don't need to do that. I don't need to pay to stay and all the rest of it, but I think it's nice for me to give back to the people that helped me when I needed them most.
Yeah, but normal cells that have like mutated and or like are defective, or you know, they're not being as efficient anymore, they'll self-destruct, and then new cells come along, you know, like your blood cells like only like live a few days, so you're constantly creating blood because the blood cells themselves don't last that long, only a few days, and then you know, more blood cells get created. Well, that's also the side effect of chemo. That's why some like weird bits that you're like, oh, how come the hair falls out? It's because they're fast growing cells, and also once your body goes under stress, your hair will start falling out. Yeah. So it's those two things at play. Yeah, but not all people lose their hair. Like, I haven't lost all my hair. I obviously have a lot of hair loss, so I shaved it. Because I didn't want to look like Gollum. I wanted to have, like, good memories of, like, the last bits of my hair before cutting it out. I didn't want it to thin out to the point where it, like, started to look bad. I was like, I want to still look good and have good pictures of my last few moments with my hair. and then I shaved it because I've always wanted to shave my head, but I never had the courage.
You've got to shave your head at least once in your life.
Yes, I agree. All my friends were doing it during COVID because they were in lockdown, so they were inside. So even if it went bad, no one would be able to see it. But I was too scared to do it, and like, I wasn't really like allowed out much during COVID, so I didn't do it. But I went to the hair salon. Yeah, it was so difficult finding a hair salon that had someone like with a certification to use the shavy thingy. Cause like, I guess women don't usually like use the machine for like haircuts. So I was like, where can I get one? And then they were like, oh, there's this like salon in this road. Cause I'd called so many, like all around my area. And none of them had it. So then I was like, where can I get this? And they're like, oh, there's this like salon like on this road that does really like quirky haircuts. Maybe they'll be able to do it for you there, maybe. And I called. No, I went in and I was like, can I get my head shaved here? And they're like, yeah. And I got it shaved that same day. I was so happy. The guy was so nice. Everyone in the salon was complimenting me that my hair looks so good. And I was like, yes,
that's the right place to be.
Yeah, good atmosphere. Yeah, and the guy doing my hair, he was so fun.
Yeah.
He was a nice lad to talk to. Yeah.
Cool.
It was fun. But yeah, like, it's crazy. Like, I was like, well, I have cancer now, so I can just shave my head. And I can finally do it. And no one like can say anything if it's bad, because how are you going to tell someone that has cancer, like, your hair's horrible, you know? No one's going to say that. No one. Yeah. I could just be like, it wasn't my choice. It all fell out. Like, some people sometimes look at me weird when I go into the store with my mask. I have to like protect myself, especially when I've done my chemo. Like, when I get closer to the end of like a cycle, like right now, I feel more comfortable not wearing a mask just because my immune system's back up. But like those first few days, it's like tanked down. So I just like wear masks, and people look at me weird. You know, they look at me funny. And I think some people also like assume, like, since my hair is short, I think some people, like, I don't know if everyone just assumes I have cancer, or like sometimes, you know how like, I have a lot of queer friends, you know, who have short hair like mine, and they don't have cancer. They just are queer and they like their hair like that. So I feel like some people assume that of me now, just because I don't look that sick, apart from this thing on my arm. Like, I just look kind of normal, which kind of makes sense, you know, just because you have cancer doesn't mean like you're like suddenly changed different. You can, and you also might not. Like, I've lost a lot of weight, so I've had to like buy new clothes. But no one looking at me in the street knows that. Yeah. So some people like look at me weird. They look at me like I'm like different, I guess. Which I am. But yeah. It's interesting how like people change their perspective of you because of your hair. Yeah, like people look at me weird for wearing a mask. And so people have been wearing masks before COVID. There are many immunosuppressed people. You know, when you compromise people who wear masks before COVID and would wear masks on a flight and stuff like that. Yeah. But I think because of COVID, people have changed their perspectives on that a lot.
So far I've done my 12-mile walk. So I've sailed the Anglican Cathedral for Teenage Cancer Trust. On Saturday, so in 2 days, I will be trekking the Yorkshire Three Peaks for the Cancer Rehab Charity Move, trying to do all three peaks in under 12 hours.
How many months is this?
In about March, April, May, June, July, August, 6 months. I'm cranky.
Yeah,
I think after Saturday, I'm going to have to stop for a bit because I don't think I'll be able to walk for a while.
How are you feeling?
Is
there any prep yet?
I think it's a little bit like late to do prep. I have done a little bit, but like
it's a 12-mile walk at some point, right?
So I think the bit that's like probably gonna kill me off the most is like, so I watched a video on YouTube the other day, as you do, and the thing that like is probably gonna kill me the most is like after the first mountain, it's a 4-hour walk from the first mountain to the second mountain. a 4-hour walk. So I think like by the time I've gone up and then came down and then I'm almost like ready to go back up and come back down again, I have to like walk for 4 hours in between, and then like the lactic acid on my muscles by the time I'm due to go back up again to come back down, I think it's going to see me off. Yeah, but like the last peak, apparently like no one tells you this, and my brother said it, and I was like, nah, he's got to be messing with me. Apparently like the last peak, no one ever tells you that it's literally like a full-on scramble. Like literally scrambling up the rocks. And I didn't believe him, and then on the end of the video you just seen this guy like climbing up these rocks to get to the top, and I was like, oh okay, that's what Jack was on about. Maybe I do need to like scramble at some point, but I think like I don't want to drink too much too quick, because I'll end up needing the toilet and there'll be nowhere to go, and then like I don't want to, like I've got loads of food, but like what if I get like too hungry and I end up eating all my food? Like I just got so many questions. Like I've never done anything like this before amongst everything else, but I just feel like it'll be one of them, like once I've done it I'll be made up, like. But so there's 70 people doing it. I only vaguely know two of them. So one of them is my cancer rehab instructor through the MOVE charity, who's coming up from London to do it. And then the other lady who I know, who lives in Liverpool and works for the charity, but she has had cancer herself and been through this journey. And it's weird because when I self-referred off and then she rang me, we got talking over the phone, and I was like, oh, my support worker from Teenage Cancer Trust told me to fill in a self-referral, and she was like, how weird is that? She's like, she was my support worker as well. So even that, I'd gone like full circle. I'm looking forward to it. I think more than anything, I just want to get it done now and get back home and be sitting on the couch waiting for the BBC to release on Sunday. Yeah. So back in March, when I was doing my Twilight Walk, the Brain Tumour Charity got in touch with me and said that, because March is Brain Tumour Awareness Month, which is why it happens in March. So like you can sign up to organise your own Twilight Walk, or you can go down to London and take part in the organised one. So I thought, I'm probably not going to get down to London, let's be honest. I'll do my own. Without knowing how short the one in London was, I thought, oh, I'll start at New Brighton, and then I'll go to West Kirby, and I'll finish in Thurston, and we'll go to the pub after, like it'll be great. Worked all out, and it was about 12.5 miles, and the organised walk in London was only 5k. So I'd like completely gone off like and just got done like so much more than I actually needed to do or whatever. So when the charity got in touch with me about the walk, they said that the Liverpool Echo was looking for like a story or whatever to do with Brain Tumour Awareness Month and stuff like that, and if they had anyone local, so they passed me on for that. The charity turned around and said to me, like, are we okay to keep it on record if anything comes up, like can we ask you again? And I was like, yeah, that's fine, thinking nothing would come up. And then they emailed me like the end of July and said the BBC are looking to do the Lifeline appeal for us in September. Would you be interested? So I was just like, yeah, whatever, like it might not go anywhere, I'll just see. So then they passed my story on to the BBC, and then the BBC got in touch with me, and I had a conversation with them, and then like a few days later they were like, oh yeah, like we can't wait to film with you and all this, we'll come to your house on like the 16th of August or something like that. And I was like, oh, my days are coming to the house. So then like my dad was like, right, fit the windows, paint the doors, do this, do that, and it was just it was a mad rush, but I definitely think it'll be worth it. So basically my dad's a property developer, so when we moved into the house a few years ago, everything was just kind of left. So the lady who lived there before was in a wheelchair, so everything was really low for her and like accessible to her. So then when we moved in, we didn't kind of change it, because when your dad does a job like that, everything gets left till last. So like the kitchen table's like really low, and like we've only done like the living room and the bedrooms, so the kitchen's still really small. So then my mum was like trying to explain to the BBC lady why the kitchen looks weird. But yeah, it went well, to be fair. But they had to film me making a cup of tea, and I was like just thinking, oh my days, this kitchen looks awful. But she, like the director lady, was like, don't worry, I'll make it look good. So yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, it doesn't look as bad as what it actually is. Amazing.